you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
bumper speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me, as it happens occasionally, is Mr. John Lane, American Hill Jack. He has co-hosted many times, so no real introduction is needed for him. But, John, would you like to say hello?
Hey, how's everybody doing out there in the big Pennsylvania Rock Show land of music and information?
And just because, I'm going to point out that John goes into that radio voice so well and so quickly. John, do you want to introduce the other person on the line?
Well, we have one of Pittsburgh's own down-home stone corner of everything that has gone on the Pittsburgh music scene, I think, for the last 20 years, East End's Robbie Perrone. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
And we already got Rob out of character.
Well, it's hard. You got to realize me and Rob worked together for several years and known each other. And so we've just been talking now for the last hour offline, off air rather. And it's hard to, he's probably just thinking, man, you were just talking like the normal asshole you are. And now you're going to pull this radio voice on me.
for whatever reason, I just kept thinking about like new nicknames I could come up for you now.
There you go. So Rob, what's
going on? Yes, Johnny Radio.
There you go.
And see, he's taken over already.
Now, for those that don't know, Rob does his own show on Adrenaline 101. And he also he's the singer and bass player in East End. He does so much. Rob, why don't you tell us what's all going on with you?
Oh, God. How much time do we have?
Well, again, it was supposed to be 35 to 45 minutes, but then John
We blew that about an hour ago. Well, like you said, I DJ on an internet radio station called Adrenaline101Radio.com. My radio show On the Rocks is on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody can tune into that. And it's always a fun time because I'm very unbiased in what I play. And the only thing I say is that I dig every – if it's on my show, it means I dig it. And I think everybody else should hear it. So I hope, to get some unsigned bands, some new ears for them, and some national bands that may not be as popular as some other ones, try to give them some airplay as well. And then along with that, I'm bassist and vocalist. I guess you could consider me a new vocalist of East End, located in Canonsburg, PA. It's a little bit south of Pittsburgh. And we're heavy metal, hard rock, kind of in the vein of Five Finger Death Punch-ish. And on top of that, I'm actually in the middle of actually starting my own custom t-shirt clothing business, which hopefully will be launching next week, which I'm very excited about. And so needless to say, Monster Energy is my new lifeblood.
No,
doesn't East End have a sponsorship that you should have plugged in there?
No. we do. We are actually sponsored by Cold Cock Whiskey. And I highly recommend that because up until then I was not a whiskey drinker at all. And it's an herbal, I call it my herbal remedy. It's very, very good.
You just sold John.
No, it's not like John's herbal therapy. It's totally different.
No, not like, but it does go good with your herbal therapy.
I'll have to test that theory.
Yes, Cold
Cock. You just have to tell me about it.
Cold Cock's been very good for us. Great networking. That's actually how we hooked up with a few of the bands that we went out on tour with back in late August out to California with Black Valentine and White Knuckle Riot. It's a growing brand and it's very, very cool to be a part of something from the ground up.
That's great.
Weren't they sponsoring Camp Element as well for a little while?
I don't know if Cold Cog was. I They may have, because I remember Camp Element, I believe, was also a Jaeger band.
They have that around.
Quite a few of the employees, and can't really say the higher ups, but the people that actually worked with the music, the bands, and everything through Jaegermeister, actually moved on to Cold Cock. So a lot of the Jaeger bands actually came too, which, like I said, it was a natural transition, and it worked well for us there as well, because whenever we after we came back from California, we actually did a show with a former Jaeger sponsored band, current Cold Cock artist, on their reunion show with Mush Cup. For those of you then in the northern Pittsburgh area, around the Beaver County area, definitely are aware of Mush Cup.
You just gave me a reason to pull out the Mush Cup out of the archives to play in this podcast.
There. There's how you do it. Yes.
Great band. Great bunch of people.
Now, sticking with Bill's format instead of my format, tell us. Now,
are you going to steal another one of my questions?
No, I'm going to ask him where he started and let him talk. So give people a little introduction on how you started in the Pittsburgh scene. And
I heard a little bit of that radio voice in there.
Yeah, I'm trying not to do as much, but I can't help it. But yeah, I know the story because we spent so much time together, but I think you need to present it because it'll be that much better.
Okay. You mean like from the beginning?
Yes, sir.
Oh my God.
Not from the day you were born though. Remember 35 minutes.
All right. So it actually started many, many moons ago. Like I feel like Sophia from the Golden Girls right now. Picture it. Pittsburgh.
1994.
That's right. Actually even before that, I think. It would have to be, let's see, right? It actually, like, my story actually started watching my older cousin in the local music scene. He was a bass player in quite a few bands, and I remember, like, you know, growing up and always hearing, like, you know, going over to my aunt's house, and it's like, oh, you know, he's going over to band rehearsal, this and that, blah, blah, and I always thought it was so cool, and he actually got me introduced to the local scene by giving me a lot of cassettes, in case anybody remembers what those things are. Of bands like Invid and the original Phantom Crew cassettes and Eviction, yes, and Crayon Death and all these other bands. And it was just like it was this new world to me. And yeah, I had been, you know, looking at, you know, watching MTV back whenever they actually had good music, or music in general, really. and like coming home from school and watching the Hard 30 and whatever else it was called. You only got 30 minutes because I wasn't old enough to stay up for Headbangers Ball at that point. And so it was like, you know, I got a chance to see, like, you know, the hair bands, which is really what I grew up on. And around, I think I was like nine when I first got my first cassette that I actually bought. And I actually bought two cassettes, and I remember my first two cassettes were Cinderella Night Songs and Iron Maiden Somewhere in Time.
Nice.
So, and like, talk about a contrast there. But that just, like, you know, really takes you to where the gamuts that I've run as far as my music and stuff. But yeah, I started actually in the scene. I started playing bass guitar when I was 12. And I started playing out. I had my first band when I was 14 years old. We would go to a local bar down the street. It was the original Brothers Grimm. It's not the Brothers Grimm that's around nowadays. But it was the original Brothers Grimm. And I remember the four of us would walk in, and they had this, like, you know, I don't even know how big it was, but it was barely enough room for the four of us to stand on. It was just this little linoleum piece as soon as you walked into the doorway. And that was where we had to stand. We were not allowed in the bar. We were not allowed to talk to anybody in the bar. We had to stay on that linoleum, almost like bad dogs. And until the band name was called, and we'd go straight to the stage, we'd play our four or five songs, whatever it was, and we'd have to leave. So,
And the name of that band was?
We thought like we were like, you know, oh, this is so cool. We're in a bar. We're playing our songs. We're going to, you know, we're doing our concerts. Meanwhile, like, you know, fast forward, you know, however many years, you look back and go, wow, that sucked because we played and we don't even know if people liked us. We don't know if they hated us. We couldn't network with anybody. No one knew who we were.
And the name of the band was?
The name of the band was Brother.
Okay.
And it was actually, I was the odd man out on that one. It was a family band. It was Brian and Stan Diamond. Brian Diamond, who's still in the music scene, used to actually played with the band we talked about a little bit ago, Mushcup, for a little while.
Yes.
He's actually still in the Pittsburgh music scene in a band called the Delaneys. They're doing really good. And his brother Stan was the drummer, and their cousin Rick was the guitarist. And I was the odd man out, not being family or anything like that. My time in that band was short lived.
Did that affect your cut?
What cut? That's pretty. There was a cut.
Hey, so it did affect it.
I remember, like, you know, all I cared about, like, back whenever, you know, being 14, all I cared about was I was in a band. I didn't know about money. I didn't know any of the business stuff or anything. Luckily, you know, for them, their parents were in a band as well and everything. So, like, you know, we got shown the ropes quite a bit. But yeah, my time in that band was pretty short lived. Mainly just because, you know, when you're that age and, you know, my parents had a different view of things than, you know, their parents did. And so therefore, you know, I couldn't stay in that band, which, you know, at 14 and you're getting pulled out of your band rehearsal by your mom saying, you know, you're done with this, you know, it sucks at that point. But then you look back and go, you know what, she was right, because then you realize, you know, how many different things you had. But yeah, from there I moved on. I went through band after band after band, after Brother, I actually formed a band with my older cousin, the one that got me into the scene. We did a few local bar gigs at that point. At that point, I was 17. And then it was kind of funny. We were actually talking about this the other day at band rehearsal, where I used to stalk my now guitar player at East End. He was actually the stockroom manager at a place I worked at. And I stalked him because my buddy worked for him, and he was like, man, this guy's in a band. You got to check him out. And I remember, once again, you know, we're talking 1995, you know, I got a cassette, their demo. It was like, you know, nobody even knows what a cassette is right now. Like, half your listeners are like, what? It's like, I got their cassette and I'm like, man, and I remember hearing the first song was first song was Dead Men Tell No Tales. And I fell in love with the riff. I fell in love with the attitude of the song. And I was like, man, I need to be in this band.
And that band was?
That band was Untamed.
Yeah, there we go. That's where I was getting to.
Yeah. I stalked them for about a year. The band I was in with my cousin played a show with them. They were recording their CD. I talked them into letting us into the studio, claiming that we were looking at the studio for a possible release of our own, which we had like nothing. Getting in, hearing some of their other original stuff. And then, you know, just kept bugging them. And like, it was almost like the Dave Mustaine kind of thing where it's like, you know, they'd pick up the phone and like, I wouldn't shut up. You know, Bill, you know that feeling, right? With John. Yeah. You know, we, you know, finally out of nowhere on a whim on a Sunday afternoon, I got a phone call from Damon Zappa, the guitar player. And he says, you know, hey, you know, we got some time. Bass player can't make it today. Why don't you come down and jam? I went, all right. So, you know, here I am just turning 18, ran down to my parents' basement. And back then, you know, there were no such thing as small amps. And I remember lugging my PV Pregnant Lady bass cab. And if anybody's familiar with the Pregnant Lady, it's 2 10s and an 18 inch speaker in it. Not exactly the lightest thing in the world, but my parents laughed because they said it looked like I was carrying a feather up those steps because I was so geeked to go to rehearse with this band. And got over there, and we jammed for a while, left, said great time meeting everybody and everything. Week later, I get the call, hey, we want you. And I was sure. So therefore the next 3 years went and, started playing a lot of shows around the Pittsburgh area.
You guys really did at that time. I'd left for California in 95 and I'd just come back in 97 and you guys were playing a lot around the Pittsburgh area at that time.
Yeah. 96 to 97 was rough for us because we were just about to start playing live again with me when our drummer decided to leave. And, that was, and this is where I get a lot of scenarios. I don't even know what you would call it. People would look at me like, man, it's like, you seem so much older than you are. And it's like, you got to remember, like, I started when I was 14. At that time, I'm only 18, but I'm hanging out with all these 20 plus year olds and everything. So it's like, I'm fitting into the scene. And just for me to...
This is my deck hockey story, except you're talking about bands.
Oh, really? Well, the one thing I didn't understand, I do now being older and everything, but back then you don't understand when people leave bands and stuff to start families or to be with their families and stuff like that. But it's, like our drummer left and, he wanted to get married. He wanted to be a family man. So, I didn't really get that, but then it kind of put us into a harboring little thing. But no, like we were going through that and everything. And then like we had gotten Matt Contorno from Cleveland, the Cleveland area. He actually was in, he was going to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh for video editing and stuff like that. And,
he's a badass drummer, let me tell you.
He is insane. When we got him, he's the only drummer I've ever seen walk in with such a cocky attitude and the smallest drum kit at that time I'd seen, because I was used to drummers having 7-9-piece kits, and he comes walking in with a 4-piece or 5-piece. It's just a kick drum, 2 toms, a floor tom, a couple cymbals, and that was it. And I'm like, and he come walking, and he's all cocky and everything. He sets up his stuff, and we're like, "You sure you can do this?" He goes, "Yep." And he played every song off of our CD to a T that was recorded on a 9-piece kit on his kit. And at that point, we're like, "Yeah, this is our guy." But he came in, and that's whenever we really started playing out as much as we could.
I think this is where I step into the story, isn't it? This is my time coming up.
Very soon. Very soon.
That's what I'm waiting for. I want to hear the dirt on John.
Well, the one thing
I had nothing to do with us actually hooking up, and it just happened. The guy that put us together was really pissed off because me and Robbie hit it off so well. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the one thing that Untamed did back in '98 was we got a chance to go to Philadelphia and record an unreleased CD to this day. It was called it's gone through a different couple different names, but it was actually called Corporation Failure. And we had the producer we had was Shelly Yakis, who has worked with numerous acts. I want to say Tom Petty, John Lennon, I can't remember who else. And then same with our engineer, Mike Moscato. I can't remember exactly who I know one of the bands he was working with was Wanderlust. I don't even know if they're still around, but they were a really good act. But that was a cool experience because that was my first time in the studio, going over things left and right and getting yelled at by a producer in the mixing room where, you know, you're not playing your bass part heavy enough or hard enough, where he's going, you know, go put the guitar down and get the paint because you're playing it like it's pink. And it's it's pissing you off, but then you go through the next take and he's like, there you go, that's what I wanted. So that was definitely a cool learning experience. And I say that CD is currently unreleased, very apprehensively, because a few members of that were in Untamed have been using songs for their own likings. So you have there's been other bands that have been promoting songs, such as we had a song called Under the Gun and Corporation Failure, Load Up and Lockdown, and they've been out there, but no one's really heard of them as the Untamed songs. But now, like John said, is pretty much where he comes into play. And then that's where life really takes a turn.
I'm working with Dan Newman, who the hell knows who he's playing with now.
He's actually in a Bon Jovi Journey tribute band.
Yep, Journey, I believe. And we were starting a recording studio, and I was helping at Cheers on Route 8, and he wanted to use a mic, Brett. And I don't know how many of you people know Mike Brett in the area, but dude, he was just too much ego for me. And so we were talking about bass players, and he was talking about this guy, Rob Perrone. And he got in touch with him and everything. And Rob come out, and we auditioned a few drummers, and we were having, no luck. And then we start practicing at Rob's house, and instantly me and Rob hit it off because we both had the same tastes in hair bands, the same tastes in metal bands. Like, we both love Overkill. We both love, Every Mother's Nightmare. We both have that vast expansion of listening to different types of music. And Dan always, was jealous of that, I do believe. And so what ended up happening is Dan left. We ended up getting JC, I can't remember his last name. Gibbs on drums, and we ended up getting George Ivanusik on guitar, and that became Impune. And we went a couple years with that, and it was a real up and down experience by far no means, but it was definitely one that I'll never forget. Rob became like part of my family. My older two kids still refer to him as Uncle Rob, even when Johnny seen him when East End come out and played with us at the Empire Concert Club and Bar in Akron, Ohio. He's Uncle Rob.
Only this time we got drunk.
It's the only difference. But we was 2 years that, we ran around Pittsburgh and played different places. And then I went my separate ways and come out here to Akron, Ohio. And he went on to his, and everything he's done. And you've done tons of stuff since then. You've done everything from hair metal to country. Oh my God. And
it's funny. I actually, there was a point in time where I was actually there was a month span where I was playing in an 80s pop, country, and a metal band all in the same month. Like, I literally had three gigs lined up in a row. And like, one was doing a full night of 80s pop rock, one was doing stuff with my country band. And then there was a night where I actually had a reunion with an old metal band of mine. So it was, you want to talk about bipolar on that one.
And you played in Creature of Habit for a little bit, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, I was in Creature for a little while. I don't even know if I was really in Creature for a year. But that was another one where it was like, that one was unexpected to me because I just got, Bill Staley, I don't know if he reached out to me or if I reached out to him, but I know they wanted to do something again. And then I came out, I jammed with them, and it worked. And, we stuck it out for a good amount of time. But it was too, shall I say, perfectionist for me, where it's like, I dumbed down my playing, I guess you could say. I don't put too much thought into it, because to me, you know, music's more about feelings than it is thoughts. I come from the Gene Simmons school where it's like, you know, you give me an E chord that rattles my ribs, you know, and that's going to get me off more than, you know, a John Petrucci solo playing like 9,000 notes in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. I sang for Creature for a short period of time when everyone out with it. And my biggest problem was, yeah, there's, you know me, I like to talk in the middle of a song, but they're very structured. And no offense, Bill, Mr. Staley.
Oh, absolutely none.
I have nothing but respect for you to this day, but it was a little bit harder for me to adjust to that, you know, rigorous, okay, perfectionism. So yeah, it didn't work for me as well. So I understand that totally.
But it does work for them. I mean, Untamed got back together to do a reunion with Creature of Habit 2 years ago, something like that. And yeah. And I mean, they literally told me that night, like, you know, Staley drove up the day before. They had one rehearsal, and the band hadn't played together in like 6 years or something. They had one rehearsal and went on the stage, and you would have thought it was like 1994 all over again. Cause like it was just spot on.
Oh yeah. And that's what so many shows that I had done with them over the years when I was fronting Payne's Invention, I used to watch them in awe. But at the same time, once you're in the situation, you know, I'm like you, as you know, I'm an entertainer. You know, I just happen to sing. And that's more of my thing is, you know,
he's a clown with a microphone.
Exactly. I like.
He just called you a clown.
But it's true. I just love.
Did you listen? Did you listen to our last podcast you've seen?
But what's always been interesting to me about you, Rob, is your passion. No matter what you get involved in, and I don't care if it's helping somebody out and raising funds, if it's playing in a band, if it's doing your podcast, whatever it is, you have such a passion. And I'm just going to say it, watching you with your son from afar and watching your posts and everything, it touches my heart because you were always so good with my kids. And that's what, you know, always attracted me to you beyond the music and everything else. And I see you doing so much with your son. And now when you put up the post with you guys going to California to look at the machine and everything and practice that, it honestly brought a tear to my eye because I know who you are. You know, I know that those things, when you got your heart into something, there's nothing stopping you.
Awesome, man. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to take control of my show here for a moment. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to Mush Cup. I don't know which song yet, but we're going to listen to some Mush Cup. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask some questions. And John, yeah. And John's going to be quiet and listen for a little while. sorry. And we're going to learn some things about Robbie that John probably knows, but none of us do. And then we're going to call it a night. But, you know, because my 35 to 45 minutes is now about an hour, and I still haven't asked my questions, and John didn't steal them. He was right. He wasn't going to. This time. All right, so we're going to take that break, and we will be right back.
Check it. I signed my name on the dotted line. Yo, Satan over here, won't you throw me in the file? Till you turn around.
You can succeed. Hey, you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show with me tonight, John Lane, co-hosting. And when you look up this podcast on the PA Rock Show, you'll notice that I put co in parentheses. took you 2 seconds. And Robbie Perrone from East End is also with us. And you got to hear John interviewing Robbie while I sat back and just learned some things. And now I'm going to do my normal interview type questions so that everyone that is not familiar with Robbie can learn a little bit about him that John didn't touch upon.
Yeah, Bill's got a hot.
Everybody learned about puberty the last time.
So if we were to look at your music collection, and you mentioned a couple bands, but who are you really listening to right now?
Right now, my listening selections are actually a lot of unsigned bands. signed-wise, I'm constantly listening to the Butcher Babies. I love them. Yeah. Arch Enemy's most recent release, War Eternal, is just freaking unreal. I love it. Alyssa White Glues is just an amazing vocalist. But mainly, like, you know, past couple of days, I've been listening to nothing but bands like Never Wakes, always one that I go to whenever I'm on the treadmill. Alter the Design, I listen to at work. There's a band from Los Angeles called Raven Black. They're so hard for me to even, like, describe. I actually played one of their songs called Voices on my show the other day. And, like, if you close your eyes, it's almost like you could be listening to, like, a heavy metal, like, music Jack in the Box. And I say that because they all, like, have these, like, the get-ups and everything, like the makeup and the hats and stuff. And the singer's in a dress, and she has this umbrella and everything on stage. And you just got to check them out. They're called Raven Black. White Knuckle Riot. Band that East End was out on tour with out in California. They're from Sacramento. Amazing band. They just got off the road with NVIDIA. And of course, our brothers, who will actually be coming out this way in May, Black Valentine from Los Angeles. Talk about a fun band. And that's actually what one of the things me and John were talking about doing, getting the Hellfire Club together and hopefully getting into the Empire Club and doing a couple other shows with those guys while they're in town. But yeah, a lot of, like I said, it's a, like we talked about earlier, it's these newer up and coming acts, the recordings are just so phenomenal that they sound just on par with, you know, Metallica and Avenged Sevenfold, and you just can't help but get into them nowadays.
I honestly very rarely listen to the radio as far as music goes anymore. I listen to Mark Madden.
Actual radio?
Yeah. I listen to
There's
Mark.
Actual radio?
Oh, I do. I do have an hour drive. Don't forget. Oh, yeah. I listen to, in the morning, I listen to DV Morning Show. And on my way home, I listen to Mark Madden. And then when I want to listen to music, I either listen to podcasts or I grab my external hard drive that has all the local music that I play on my show, and I listen to it.
And you gotta listen to the American Hilljack Files.
If it was an hour long, I could get through it.
He'll just call you for that.
I do listen to both the American Hill Jack Files and to the Weekly Rock Blog.
And Brian Schaefer is really good at what he does. I will say this, though. I'm a little jealous. Again, I'm going to have to bring up at the next meeting. You gave him music and he didn't give me music. I'm jealous again.
You
I'm
didn't
step,
ask.
I'm the redhead stepchild out, but whatever.
Actually, let's put this out here since you brought it up. When you were at Pennsylvania Rock Show 11, what did I give you?
Oh, you gave me a whole stack of CDs.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That wasn't where I was going with that.
Yeah. I gave you a whole stack of local music from this scene. Did.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry.
Brian has gotten like 6 songs for me. You have like 20 CDs.
But I should be your favorite.
I've actually known Brian longer than I've known you.
And I've known Brian longer than I've known you.
There you go.
That's still really funny.
So anyway, I listen to both of their shows because if you ask both of them, they'll tell you that they're kind of modeling what they do after what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I listen to them for ideas for what I should be doing. So it's just kind of a big circle.
I thought you were trying not to get sued.
Hey, I don't rant.
Dude, I've only 2 people tried to sue me. It's all right.
So anyway, back to Robbie. So you mentioned that your older cousin was what caught you into the scene, but you didn't really mention his name or any of his bands, and I'd like to hear those.
My older cousin's name is Dave, same last name, Perrone. He was in... Let's see. He was in quite a few bands. Currently, he is in a band called 3MD that plays locally, usually around like the South Hills area of Pittsburgh. They play a little club called Little Jim's. Good, classic rock cover band. They're a good band. They're a lot of fun to check out. Back in the day, I remember a few of the bands that really stick out in my head that he was in. The first one, and I remember him driving to leaving my house to go to rehearsal with this band because he actually had a custom license plate holder made that said the Goon Squad. And that was actually the band the Goon Squad back in the day.
I played on a deck hockey team called the Goon Squad.
That's what I was going to ask. Was that a takeoff of the Murphy from those guys from the Penguins at that time?
I highly doubt it. I don't think he was a sports guy unless he wasn't the one that named the band. I don't know too much on that one. But the one, and this is the next band I'll mention is actually when it really becomes a small world in this community of music, is he was in a band called Future Tense for it was a few years. Future Tense later turned into a band called Mercenary.
Yes, it did.
What's that?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was I never put those two together.
Well, Dave was not the bass player in Mercenary. He was, I don't know if he left or got kicked out or whatever before they changed the name. But the funny thing was, when we were, I was actually just out a couple weeks ago at the Flotsam and Jetsam show in town here, and a couple of the guys from Vermithrax were in the crowd. Another great local band that I think everybody should check out. And I was talking to their drummer, Jerry, and we're actually at that time I knew him as JR, and I didn't even put two and two together, but we started talking about, you know, old bands and everything. And he had mentioned Invid, and saying how Chuck Brumman was one of his best friends and this and that. So we started talking about all the old scene and everything. And I brought up Dave's name, and because I was like, oh, yeah, I was like, you know, with Jerry Jameson. And he was like, that's me. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, J.R. Jameson, Jerry Jameson. And I told him Dave, and he's like, oh my God. And that just shows you, it's like, you know, you want to talk about passion, and they're like, it's not the guys that are looking to be the rock stars. it's the metal guys that are doing it for the music that are still doing it.
Amen.
I mean, you look at, like, you know, guys like Jerry, who, you know, we're talking 1990.
Future Tense was
five, like four.
Future Tense, was it that long? I thought it was a little bit longer before that. That was like 1992, 1993. Future Tense.
It may have been. So we're talking. We're talking a good, you know, over 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and they're still doing it.
Cool. Is there anybody you want to throw out any shout outs to before we fade away into the night?
Throwing shout outs. Oh, this is a tough one. First off, my little bugaboo. I gotta say hi to Kyrie Beecham. My little boo is still, again, in Children's Hospital. She had a quadruple organ transplant last year. And was doing great. And now currently she's fighting rejection and she's back in the hospital. Unfortunately, exactly a year later, she's back in the hospital. So I just want to say hi to Boo. Get your shit together, girl. That's all I got to say, because your Robbie loves you. To my little buddy Hines, keep kicking cancer's butt, buddy. To my family, you know, thank you guys so much for everything you do. To all the fans and friends that I've gained over the past year of 2016, I mean, it's been one hell of a ride, and 2017's looking really, really bright. I can't wait to experience it all with you guys.
And John, do you have any last thoughts?
I just like to say it's very nice to see Robbie doing so much. I've always believed in him, no matter what. Any things have gone on with us, like I say, he's always been a passionate guy, and I know anything he puts his mind to, it's going to be a success. And, you know, I hope to see more of that go on for you for 2017, and I can't wait to do some shows together and hang out.
Yeah, dude, we're definitely going to be doing that. I can't wait. And, like, you know, May is going to be a blast. I cannot, like, we have to set up some stuff, because when, you know, Black Valentine's coming all the way from Los Angeles to party with the East Coast.
We'll have to set that up.
Yep, most definitely. They play June 2nd. They're playing the American Warrior Benefit up in Rochester, New York. And they fly into Pittsburgh on May 25th. So we are going to just line up a week's worth of shows all over the place. And we're just going to have a blast. So I can't wait. And Bill, thank you very much for reaching out, man. I really appreciate this.
Not a problem. Thanks for coming on. So this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode 359 with me
today. And 60, 61, and 62.
And maybe 64. with Robbie Prone, my co-host for the evening, John Lane. If you'd like to hear John and I take shots at each other some more while Brian talks, check us out on podcastyourscene.com. Where you can also find the Weekly Rock Blog and the American Hill Jack Files. So if you go there, you can find all four podcasts. My name is Bill, and I will catch you next week. I don't know who I'll be talking to yet. You'll have to tune in and find out.